Joël Plouffe, tell me, what are some of the events in the Arctic in 2015 that really marked the region, in your opinion?
I think one of the most significant events of the year is something that happened really recently, is the creation of a Coast Guard Forum, which is a really interesting organization for the region, where you have all of the Coast Guards of all of the Arctic states who are now going to be working together, coordinating their efforts for all of the various emerging issues that we have in the Arctic, linked to climate change, increase of human activities, economic activities in the north. So all of these Coast Guards will be sharing resources, expertise, experiences to collaborate. So it clearly demonstrates that beyond the Arctic Council, we have other kinds of organizations, other kinds of arrangements, multilateral agreements, that favor collaboration and cooperation in the North, and that includes Russia, it includes the United States and all of the other Arctic states. So it's a very positive signal.
How do you explain this? Why is it that countries like Russia, United States and Canada to a certain extent cannot see eye to eye in Ukraine or Syria, but are cooperating in the Arctic?
I think it's because they have no other choice. Basically, when you come to questions of environmental protection, you need common means to be able to work together to find solutions to some crises. So this is the only way. I think a great example of this is the United States. It's the paradox of American power, like we would say, where the U.S. is a sea power everywhere in the world except for in the Arctic, because for years, navigation was not an issue. But now that is emerging, and in the span of 20 years, the United States will not have huge sea power capability in the north. It's just not it's not worth the cost. So working together with Russia and then with Canada and others, it's a way to address these issues commonly. There are no conflicts. I think one of the most interesting things of the Arctic is that since 1990, since the creation of the Arctic Council in the 1990s, in 1996, since then there's been no conflict in the Arctic, and everybody works together because it is only positive for them. So when we see economic development gaining, or increasing in some regions of the Arctic, and some new issues will emerge. To address these, we need help. We need to share burdens and share resources, and this is how they work.
Of course, 2015 was also the year when we got a new government in Ottawa. The Arctic wasn't mentioned at all in the speech from the throne. Do you think the Liberals have an Arctic strategy?
I'm hopeful that the Liberals are currently working on a new domestic and international Arctic strategy that will resemble a bit more the contemporary issues of the Arctic. And now I'm speaking about economic development, globalization, and really human security issues that are really important in the North. For years now, we've been sort of looking away from the North, and since the 1990s, we've not been looking at the rest of the North or working with the rest of our neighbors in the Arctic. And since the Ukrainian crisis, we've really stopped doing international relations in the Arctic, and mostly with one of our most common colleagues, which are the Russians, with whom we've been having many multilateral or bilateral arrangements and cooperation since the 1950s and 60s. On questions that are really important in the North, when we talk about health, education, environmental protection, economic development. So Canada's Northern strategy, not only on paper, it must be more reflective of these issues that are now new and that are continuing to change. But also, we need a Canadian government that will also be on the ground with its neighbors in the Arctic and working on a new form of collaboration with them and creating this sense of community that's important for regional cooperation in the Arctic, I think.
So what are the things that you will be looking forward to in 2016, in the coming year?
It'll be an interesting year because I'm sure you recall the launch of the U.S. Arctic Council chairmanship. It was a big fanfare. A lot of resources were invested in the launch of this chairmanship, really branding the U.S. as a big Arctic state with a lot of interest in the Arctic. I'm looking forward to the coming year where everything will start to go faster for the U.S. and their chairmanship. It's an ambitious chairmanship, and there are a lot of things that they wish to realize in the coming months. So I think we'll be looking at that. We'll be looking also from a Canadian perspective on if Canada will develop a new northern strategy, an international strategy for the North. And probably the third issue that will be really interesting to look at will be the Crystal Cruise ship that will be going through the Northwest Passage next summer, a cruise with 1,000 people on board going in the Arctic for about 30 days, and will be going into very dangerous waters of the Canadian North. So it'll be a way to see how Canada is prepared to address these new issues of tourism in the Arctic. It'll be one of the first or the biggest one that'll be going through the Northwest Passage. So we'll have to learn from this experience and get ready to have more activities like this one in the Arctic. I'm sure the U.S. will be watching that very closely also, because one of the biggest criticism coming from the U.S. is the lack of capabilities in the Arctic when we talk about icebreakers and search and rescue. So they'll be looking at this closely also.
How about issues such as the ice-strengthened patrol ships for the Navy or the icebreakers that the Conservatives had promised but have been delayed?
Yeah, they've been delayed for a while. We'll have to see if those will be available soon. The whole issue of procurement in Canada has been very difficult for any kind of new ship or aircraft that we want. We'll have to see if this new government will find a great strategy, a magical strategy to make these projects go forward quicker. But at this point, I'm not sure that we have much of an update on that right now.
All right. In terms of the big infrastructure projects in the Arctic, what do you see coming? What's happening in 2016?
I think that one of the most marking issue of the last months in the Arctic is to see the lack of interest for some economic development projects. That means that there's probably less money in infrastructure investments coming from the public or from the private. But then again, we'll have to see how this new government that has a promise of investing massively in infrastructure, at least in the south, how we'll be able to prioritize some of the issues up north. I think we're looking at basic infrastructure issues for local development and sustainability in some of the communities in the north, from schools to better roads or just better water systems. All of these issues are important, and we'll have to see if the new government will have any funding for this. Just recently, the Northwest Territories government that was asking for massive funding coming from Ottawa for its own infrastructure. I think for sustainable development, we'll have to find a way to rethink the way we develop the North, or how Northerners develop their North, and they have to find some solutions and present those to the South, at least to the Canadian government, and see how the Canadian government is willing to invest in these new projects. Just the traditional formula of a natural resources development, like we see elsewhere in the provincial north, is a very, very difficult or very challenging or risky way to develop sustainable communities. It's always finding another way to favor development, growth, and prosperity in these regions, and hopefully some solutions will be coming out of the north, and we'll have to invest also in education and in the new youth also that are the basic next generation that will be able to rethink the north and work in the north and make it grow the way that they want it to grow.